This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Brittany Gutierrez, 17-year-old Regional Youth of the Year winner with the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada. She's also president of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada's Keystone Club, a member of the Young Jedi Council, and an aspiring ultrasound technician. February is Youth Leadership Month, and Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada is passionate about building the next generation of leaders in our community, like Brittany. Brittany, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, of course.
So what prompted you to get involved with the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada?
At first, I was kind of forced into the Boys and Girls Club. You know, my mom needed a place for us to go after school. She was working very tirelessly, night shift. She didn't have the time to actually pick us up from school. So then I started coming to the Boys and Girls Club every day. And, you know, they started taking me in every day, teaching me the new programs and making sure I was involved with like all the activities that they provided.
What have you learned through the process of being a member at the Boys and Girls Clubs?
I've learned that it doesn't matter what type of background you have, you know, at the end of the day, like we're all here together. The Boys and Girls Club has always been there to really like teach you that at the end of the day, we're all a team, you know, we're always going to be together. The Boys and Girls Club has taught me how to be a better person for those around me, you know, how to be better, how to be smart about things, and, you know, how to just be a role model.
Awesome. So tell us more about being a member of the Young Jedi Council.
So basically, Young Jedi is an advocacy club where we, you know, go out around the community, see problems in the community, and then we fight to advocate for them. Last year, I went to Washington, D.C., thanks to the Young Jedi program, and our issue was advocating for homeless youth of Las Vegas. I was able to develop my advocacy skills. You know, I was able to speak in front of 5,000 people at Washington, D.C., and it's been a great process, a great time. It was very inspiring. I learned a lot of new things about our community, what our community needs, and how to help them. You know, being in this program, in this club, I was able to help make essential goodies and stuff like that for the homeless youth that need help, that need the assistance from organizations like the Boys and Girls Club.
That's fantastic. What a great experience. Now, what does JEDI stand for?
JEDI stands for Justice, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion.
Wow, that's so awesome. And what do you do as president of Boys and Girls Club's Keystone Club?
As president of the Keystone Club, I do a lot, you know, the basics like organizing and planning and stuff like that. But most importantly, I have to be there to guide my Keystone Club. You know, it's a lot of us, me and other fellow Keystone members that are willing to actually help the community. We want to be there to help the community and plan these events that allow for our community to be better and to get together. So, you know, that's really what being Keystone president is about, you know, being able to lead my fellow Keystone members to do the right thing, being able to plan something that will actually help our community and help all of us together.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, what was it like competing in the Youth of the Year competition and winning the regional title?
It was great. You know, it was a really, really good opportunity. It was definitely nerve-wracking, you know, because it's not just my story that I have to say or hear, you know, it's a lot of people that are actually coming out, a lot of teens that are coming out to explain their story, to express themselves, you know, be in that vulnerable space where they have to like tell the rest of the people what they went through, you know. But it was definitely really, really good. It was a great opportunity for me. I got to learn a lot about myself. You know, as I was trying to develop my story, I was finding out things that I didn't really realize, you know, and it was really good. You know, I have that title. I'm so proud of myself. I'm so excited. I'm so grateful to the Boys and Girls of the Southern Nevada for, you know, really taking that out of me, allowing me to create such a beautiful story.
So what exactly was involved in the actual competition for Youth of the Year?
So basically, you have to come up with your own story, you know, of how the Boys and Girls Club has helped you, how they've impacted your life. And that's the major part, obviously. You have to come up with this story. You have to create essays showing how important the Boys and Girls Club was. And then obviously you do your essay and such. And then a week before the actual competition, we had interviews and we had three judges who came in and interviewed us. You know, they asked us personal questions about our experience with the Boys and Girls Club. And they got to know you more in like a regular professional way. And then obviously a competition night came and we all had to say our speech in front of our friends and family. And they decided on interview night, but that was also part of the process, you know, taking that time to actually create your speech, taking that time to practice and to get to know yourself a little bit more.
Yeah, that's great. And what's the next level of competition going to be?
So the next level is state, and that's where different regions, all the winners of the different regions are going to meet at Carson City, and then we're all going to go against each other. We're all going to see who wins, the lucky winner.
Cool. All right. So it's taking place in Carson City. When will you be going to do that?
I am leaving on the 12th of March. So yeah, next month.
That's fantastic. Good luck.
Thank you.
Now, beyond the Boys and Girls Clubs, what are your career goals?
My career goals, I would like to become an ultrasound technician and, help the families and all the vulnerable mothers, there's such a beautiful time in their lives, be able to be there and help them.
That's great. What would you like other young people to know about the Boys and Girls Clubs?
I would like other young people to know that the Boys and Girls Club is a beautiful, safe space. I would like all these young members to know that the Boys and Girls Club, at the end of the day, all they really want to do is just help, be there for the young members, be there to help them.
That's awesome. How can listeners find out more about the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada and its programming?
Listeners can find out more about the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada by going on the website, going on Instagram pages, social media pages. The Boys and Girls Club has great programs to help all young members, all youth, to become better leaders, become better role models, and help the community, help those around them.
Okay, so once again, the website for Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada is bgcsnv.org. That stands for Boys and Girls Clubs Southern Nevada, bgcsnv.org. You can also find them on social media, Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada. And it's a great program, 13 local clubs right here in Las Vegas, in the Valley. So there's definitely one near you and your family if you want to find out more and look into the programming to see what it can do for you, like it did for Brittany. And we've been speaking today with Brittany Gutierrez. She's a 17-year-old Regional Youth of the Year winner with the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada, and she'll be going on to compete statewide in March in Carson City. Brittany, I want to thank you so much for being here. It's been great hearing your story and what the Boys and Girls Clubs has done for you and all the different ways you've been able to get involved, make a difference for the community, and how it's helped you grow as well. So thank you so much for sharing.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for taking the time to interview me. Thank you.
After I lost my mom, I lost my way. Then I found youth advocate programs, behavioral health services.
As a little kid, I made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
YAP gives communities alternatives to residential care, youth incarceration, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, nearly 90% of participants remain in their community. YAP works.
I'm working towards a bright future.
Youth advocate programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn more at yapinc.org.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Christina Prather, theater arts teacher at Centennial High School, along with two cast members of their upcoming run of Little Shop of Horrors, Olivia McAdam, who plays Audrey, and Kylie Hansen, who plays the voice of Audrey too. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
So, Ms. Prather, tell us about the theater arts program at Centennial.
Our theater program is designed to really help students to explore the arts in a very collaborative way. With our musical specifically, we try to collaborate with all of our performing arts department, including our choir director, who helps with all our vocals, our orchestra that's helping with one of our songs that Audrey sings, and then our band. We actually have a live pit playing for this specific show. And then our dance program also has a part in the show. So it's a collaborative exploration of what theater can be to help bring not only to Centennial, but to our community, the arts, where a lot of places don't have that opportunity to maybe see a show of this magnitude at the Smith Center because it's too expensive. So we can bring the community into here and put on a great production to reach out to our community and really emphasize the importance of arts in education.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Why did you decide to put on Little Shop of Horrors specifically?
So this is my first year at Centennial. Mr. Papillo, this is one of his favorite shows. So, and it's also a show that is being redone on off Broadway.
Yes.
Currently, they've just casted it off Broadway. It is a very popular show with students because it allows them to explore fun music and kind of a meatier script, right? It's not the lighthearted, happily ever after show. So it has some of the classic elements of horror in it, as well as just allows them to really enjoy something that's much more applicable to where they are, right? So moving away from the classical theater and bringing forth something that shares a strong message with our student body as well as with the community. So it has strong themes and great music, and it's just a lot of fun for our cast and the caliber of students that we have that can actually put on this production.
Awesome. Olivia, what's it like to play the female lead in this musical?
Honestly, it's a great time working with all sorts of different students that I've grown up with in high school. It's honestly just been a really fun, lighthearted experience. I've also gained a lot of responsibility, I'd say, definitely a lot of responsibility, making sure all of my things are done so that I can put on the best performance for everybody, because that's what it's all about, is entertainment, putting on the best performance you can while still having fun with it.
Yeah, that's great. Now, Kylie, you're voicing the villain, basically the man-eating plant, and that part is often played by a deep-voiced man. What's your approach to Audrey 2?
My approach to Audrey 2, for my notes, I normally go a little higher, obviously, because I'm not a man, so I can't go as deep as they can. But I've learned to really like play with my character. So it's not like, oh, I'm just a man eating plant. I'm like the sassy plant that likes food, basically. Like, honestly. So I add like growls in there. I'm more of like a sarcastic person. I take my time with some of my lines just to kind of add more character and add more detail and like drama to what I'm trying to show the audience.
That's great. Now, personally, I probably wouldn't be here doing this right now if I hadn't been in the drama club at my high school, which, really changed my life, brought me out of my shell. Olivia and Kylie, what has theater arts brought to your life?
I'll go first. I've been doing theater for 4 years at Centennial. I originally came to Centennial as a very shy kid. I was very introverted. I didn't really talk. So theater brought me out of my shell, and I can talk and I can dance and I can have fun with all my friends. And like truly, like I just don't care if people see me dancing in the middle of the hallway or doing whatever, because theater has truly brought me out of my shell and showed me like I can be weird and nobody really cares. Nobody's really caring what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with that 100%. I think I wasn't a super shy kid coming into high school. I've always been pretty outspoken, but I think theater is definitely a good outlet for that for me, where I'm allowed to be myself. There's people around me. It's brought me great friends that I've connected with on that sort of level. It's also brought me a lot of confidence. I've always loved singing. I've always loved being a performer and entertaining people. Theater has given me a space to be able to do that, and also helped me build the confidence to be able to do that.
That's fantastic. Now, Ms. Prather, you mentioned that this production is open to members of the public. What are the details of the show run?
So we open February 26th, and then we run until March 1st, and we end with a matinee at 1:30 on March 1st. So we have shows February 26th, 27th, and 28th at 6 o'clock, and then a matinee on March 1st at 1:30.
Nice. Okay. So next week, Wednesday through Friday at 6 p.m. and then Saturday at 1:30 p.m.
Correct.
And how much are the tickets?
So tickets for the general public are $13 for an adult. And if they are any students within the CCSD district, then they are $10.
Awesome. And where do the funds raised through the ticket sales go to?
So all of the funds raised through this ticket sales go back into our program so that we can continue to put shows on year after year.
Perfect. So, where can people go to find out more about your production of The Little Shop of Horrors or get tickets to the show?
So there is a website that we use. It's Cure8, and all of our social media also has our poster with a QR code that they can just scan it and take them straight to the ticket venue.
Okay. And then if they go to the Centennial High School website, is there a way to get tickets that way as well?
I believe that they put that on the website, yes. CentennialHighSchool.org.
All right. So once again, the website for Centennial High School is CentennialHighSchool.org, CentennialHighSchool.org. You can find out more information about the high school and also their production of Little Shop of Horrors. And ultimately, you buy the tickets on cure8.com, which is CUR8.com. You can find the specific QR code or link to that page if you go to Centennial High School on social media, and you can follow it from there as well. The run of Little Shop of Horrors is happening next Wednesday, February 26th through Friday, February 28th at 6 p.m. each night, and then Saturday, March 1st at 1:30 p.m. for the final matinee. $13 for adult tickets, $10 for CCSD students. And again, you can find out more information at centennialhighschool.org or on their social media pages. And we've been speaking today with Christina Prather. She's theater arts teacher at Centennial High School and two cast members of The Little Shop of Horrors, Olivia McAdam, who plays Audrey, the female lead, and Kylie Hansen, who plays the voice of Audrey 2, the man-eating plant. And it's been fantastic talking to you all, finding out more about what you're doing, the amazing impact that a theater arts program and performing arts in general can have on students and on the community. And it's really fantastic that you're opening up the production for community members to experience the arts in their neighborhood, in their community, without having to shell out Broadway level ticket prices. So thank you so much, all of you, for being here today and sharing more about what you're doing at Centennial High School.
Thank you so much.
What's the biggest myth about interscholastic performing arts? That you have to be the most talented or experienced to participate. The truth is, anyone can be a part of their school's performing arts. There are countless opportunities for students to participate, from theater, choir, and band to speech and debate. The bottom line, if you want to perform, there's a place for you.
This message presented by the NFHS and the NIAA.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Kara Arenas, Vice President of Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada, or ABC Nevada. Nevada's construction industry is facing a labor shortage, but ABC Nevada is taking action through its apprenticeship program, which provides a direct pathway to high-paying careers without the burden of student debts. Kara, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what is Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada?
So we are a trade association. We have hundreds of contractors and associates throughout the state of Nevada. Also, we're Las Vegas and Reno, so we're a statewide association. We offer various benefits to all of our members that are participating in our association, including safety training, workforce development programs, amazing networking events, political and legal resources, business development opportunities, and then lastly, most importantly, our state and federal registered apprenticeship programs in various trades.
Awesome. And how long has ABC Nevada been around?
Since the 80s.
Nice. Okay. So tell us more about your apprenticeship program.
Okay. So currently in Las Vegas, we have our four-year electrical apprenticeship program, our three-year low-voltage apprenticeship program, four-year sheet metal, four-year carpentry, and then our three-year operator program. And in Reno, we also have our four-year electrical and plumbing program. Basically, anybody who applies for our apprenticeship program and that are accepted into the programs are then placed with one of our ABC members to work for. So they have your structured day-to-day job. The contractors obviously are paying them for the work during the day. And then the contractor is the one that is paying for them to come to ABC in the evenings to get their education for the 3 or 4 year duration of the program. That contractor is also paying for their health insurance benefits and teaching the students everything they need to know from the ground up. So whether they're an apprentice right out of high school or they're an individual looking for their second career path in life, apprenticeship is the prime place for them to be so they can learn everything from the ground up.
Okay, so it's kind of like a combination of going to school and getting hands-on experience at work at the same time.
Correct.
And how does an apprenticeship program compare to an internship?
Well, with the apprenticeship program, like you said, they're getting paid during the day, and then they are tied through the duration of the program to that contractor. So they're basically building their career as they're moving forward. So the intent is to hopefully have that individual who's an apprentice throughout the four-year program to hopefully, you know, move into a leadership position with that same contractor for the rest of their career. So that's the intent there.
Okay, perfect. And what are the criteria to apply?
You have to have your high school diploma or your GED. You have to be over 18 years old, and you have to have a birth certificate. And that is it. Anybody can apply during the open enrollment periods, which are actually in March, June, and October of every single year. We do have an interview process and then also a math test that's included in the application process. Every open enrollment period, I do offer a free math prep class to kind of help out with a quick refresher on the math, and then anybody can apply.
And how do the apprentices get matched with a contractor? Is it based on their specific interests, or is it just what's available?
It would be trade specific. So when an individual applies for the program, they will need to know exactly which trade they want to move forward in. So they would need to choose whether they want to be an electrician or a heavy equipment operator, for instance. And then if they are accepted into the program and they don't currently work for anybody, I would then dispatch them out. Normally, if a student is accepted and they come through our orientation, I usually have them hired with a contractor the night of orientation.
That's great. Now, what's the experience actually like for students based on any feedback that they may have given you?
Oh, I have thousands of I've been running the apprenticeship programs for the last 21 years. So I definitely have tons of feedback. I think my something that makes me the most proud about our apprenticeship program, for instance, I would say 95% of our instructors currently are all past ABC graduates. So I think it's definitely, it speaks volumes of our program and what we are accomplishing. The fact that people want to come back and they want to give back to the community and they want to give back to, you know, the students coming up the same pathway that they did. So I think that's an amazing, I think that's pretty honest feedback. I think that's I'll take that as my answer.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right. Now you mentioned a bunch of different programs that are different lengths, 4 years, 3 years. How long does it take to complete the program on average, like from your shortest program to the longest?
So it's either a 3 year or a 4 year span. So as soon as somebody is indentured into the apprenticeship program, the only ones that are 3 year programs are again going to be our low voltage and our heavy equipment operator program. Once the students are indentured into the program, their classes will begin. They will conclude 144 hours of classroom instruction every single year. Once they are done with their 6,000 hours of the on-the-job training hours, they are classified as a graduate. And then for our electrical, our sheet metal, our carpentry, and our plumbing, those are going to be our four-year programs where the students also are going to complete 144 hours of classroom instruction per year. And then they will end with 8,000 hours of on-the-job training with those ABC member contractors.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that the next open enrollment is in March. What are some of the deadlines and application criteria that someone would need to keep in mind if they're interested in applying?
So March 3rd will be the first day. That's when we open up the application period on our website, which is abcnevada.org. There will be a button on there. Just basically says apply now. And an individual just will complete the application questions. There is a link on there where they will include their ID, their diploma, their birth certificate. They will take that basic math test in that process. And then they just conclude their application, and then we notify them of their interview. And it's about a 3 to 6 week process from start to finish, from the date of application to the day of us closing out the process and deciding on how many apprentices we will be bringing in that cohort.
So open enrollment opens March 3rd, and when does it close?
March 14th. So it's 2 weeks they have basically to apply in each session.
Okay. And how big is each cohort?
So it just depends on the contractor needs. Surveys that we receive back, I have made it a point to only bring in enough students to know that for the next 4 years or 3 years, that it's my duty to keep them employed full time. So we always are very particular about how many students we bring in. So if we have our contractor needs, sometimes can come in at saying we need 60 students, and sometimes we'll receive 100 applications. So in that situation, we would bring in the top 60 individuals from that application period.
Okay, awesome. So you did give the website once, but where can listeners go for more information about Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada or apply for the March open enrollment of the apprenticeship program?
It would be abcnevada.org.
All right, perfect. So once again, that website is abcnevada.org. That stands for Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada, abcnevada.org. You can find out more about Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada there. And if you're interested in applying for the apprenticeship program, again, it's a 3-year or 4-year program, depending on what program you pick. And the next open enrollment is March 3rd to March 14th. And then there's another open enrollment in June and another one in October. So all of that is there at abcnevada.org. And we've been speaking today with Kara Arenas. She's the Vice President of Associated Builders and Contractors of Nevada, or ABC Nevada. And Kara, I'm really glad you're here letting us know about this innovative apprenticeship program. You know, it sounds like an amazing program, and obviously it's been going a long time and a lot of people have given positive feedback about it. I'm sure it's great for both the contractors and the apprentices. So it's great to hear more about it. And thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you for having me.
My dad, he's a double amputee, and he's one of my favorite people in the world. To me, a hero is someone who fights for our country and freedom.
My dad is a hero.
Homes for Our Troops built this house, and my dad can get through the wide doorways.
He can reach anything.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Michelle Reisdorf, workplace trends expert with Robert Half. According to Robert Half research, the majority of professionals surveyed say they're happy in their current roles, and less than a third plan to look for a new job in the next 6 months. Michelle, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
So for those who aren't familiar, what is Robert Half?
Robert Half is the world leader in specialized staffing.
Now, what are the trends that you've seen impacting job seekers in 2025?
Yes. So what we found is career satisfaction is at an all-time high. As you mentioned, 81% of workers are happy in their roles, and we haven't seen that in years. And again, as you mentioned, fewer than a third are even looking for a job. Our report also found that almost half of job seekers want more transparency when it comes to salary ranges and job descriptions. And so those are all important reminders for employers that are looking to fill open positions.
Yeah. Now, why do you think there are so many fewer people planning to search for a new job right now?
I think coming out of the pandemic, a lot of candidates found competitive pay, jobs that were remote that then turned to hybrid. So greater kind of work-life balance and satisfaction, great culture. And so they've hit upon all of the key things that they're looking for in the job market, and they're satisfied with that.
Now, when you're talking about transparency in positions and salaries, what does that look like?
Well, for a candidate, it means it starts with the actual job posting itself, making sure that they truly understand what the range is for the role that they're applying for, as well as the actual job description. And what they're really looking for in that job description is a career path. They don't want to just apply for a role or a job. They want to join a company where they will see long-term career pathing for themselves for at least the next 3 to 5 years and beyond.
Yeah, definitely important. Generally speaking, what are the top factors that contribute to career satisfaction?
Yep. So it's what we call the three C's: competitive pay, culture, and career path. And, you know, as I mentioned, they want to see where they're going for the next 3 to 5 years. We recently just worked with a candidate who went through several interviews for, you know, what looked like the perfect role, but something wasn't clicking. And what we realized together is that she really wanted a position with long-term growth, not just a job. And so we revised her search and found her a perfect fit, and it wasn't that role.
Interesting. Okay. How is AI contributing to or impacting the job search process?
Yeah, so AI is still new for many employers and employees. What we're finding is that AI can help companies find great candidates more quickly, but AI can also help candidates with the job search. And, you know, what they must keep in mind is they have to still customize their applications when using AI for each and every job posting so that they explain really why they're right for that role.
So would that be in the actual resume itself, or do you mean in a cover letter?
Usually it's in the actual resume itself. So with AI, you can use it as a tool to help you write better resumes. But again, what you want to make sure is that resume is personalized and tailored to represent you as a match for that right role. So don't just use AI to generate the same resume over and over again for multiple positions.
Okay, so basically using similar keywords to what was in the posting and tailoring what you accomplished in past roles to what you would be doing in the new role.
Absolutely. Making sure that you customize what AI gives to you. It's just a tool. It's not the end all be all for applying for that job.
Okay. And what advice do you have for people who are planning a career change this year who, you know, we've mentioned they're in the minority, but obviously there's people out there. So what should they know?
Yeah, I think the first step is to understand what you want in your next role, right? Don't just make a change to make a change. Let us help you. You can visit roberthalf.com and connect with a specialized recruiter, because oftentimes recruiters do have the inside track on open roles and can help you find the right fit. Again, you want to make sure you are assessing what you want. You cultivate new skills to make sure that they match the roles that you're applying for. And most importantly, as we mentioned, tailor your resume and your online presence to make sure that you stand out.
Okay. Now, I always thought that recruiters would reach out and that it's the employers who are going to them. I didn't know that candidates could go straight to a company like Robert Half. What does the process look like?
Absolutely. So, you know, for starters, go to our website, roberthalf.com. You can search all of the open positions that we're currently working on today, and that's a great way for you to start that search. But absolutely, if you see something that you like, reach out to a recruiter, or even if you don't, reach out to a recruiter, make them aware of what you're looking for. They will work with you to help you tailor and polish that resume, prepare you for the interview process, and get you in front of the employers that you want to meet with for job opportunities.
All right, fantastic. So you mentioned the website, roberthalf.com. What else can people discover when they go to that website?
You'll find the study that we covered today, but also all kinds of tips for the job search process, different blogs, even a copy of our salary guide to make sure that you have the ability to go out and do some research before you do actually apply for the job. So lots of great materials to help you in that job search process.
Awesome. Okay. So once again, the website is roberthalf.com. roberthalf.com. You can find out more about the research that we've been talking about today with Trends Impacting Job Seekers in 2025. You can also find a lot of great tips on the job search process, including salary guide, what jobs are in demand. So roberthalf.com. And we've been speaking today with Michelle Reisdorf. She's a workplace trends expert with Robert Half. And Michelle, it's been very interesting talking to you and finding out more about where people are at this year and what they're thinking about their current roles, about future potential roles, and how to best go out and find a new role if they are looking for that. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at easterseals.com.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Rabbi Levi Harlig, Executive Director of the Friendship Circle Las Vegas. Their seventh annual Walk for Friendship Las Vegas fundraiser, walk, and community carnival will be happening again this year at Las Vegas Sports Park. Rabbi Harlig, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what exactly is the Friendship Circle Las Vegas?
Friendship Circle Las Vegas is a nonprofit. We started here in Las Vegas in 2016, and the goal is to create friendships, create an inclusive Las Vegas, an inclusive place where members of all abilities can get together, create friendships, have some fun, be it through art, music, sports, getting together and creating friendships for members of all abilities.
When you say all abilities, who are primarily the members of the Friendship Circle?
So first of all, the age range starts from at age 5 or 6, all the way up through their 40s and 50s. A lot of our members are on the autism spectrum, but really anyone who has a hard time making friends, if you have an official disability or socially, you may struggle in school, you have a hard time making friends, Friendship Circle is the place for you. Come to Friendship Circle. It's an inclusive place. You'll find some friends and make good friends in a non-judgmental environment.
Nice. Okay. Now, Friendship Circle is a bigger organization. What made you want to start a chapter here?
That's a very good question. And yes, you did your research. Friendship Circle started in Michigan in 1994. I grew up here in Las Vegas. My parents are an Orthodox, Hasidic Orthodox couple that have a Jewish outreach synagogue here. I always envisioned that, but my wife, who's from Pittsburgh, her youngest sister has Down syndrome. So she kind of introduced me to the world of special needs, really, and pushed to start the branch of Friendship Circle here. I think it's inspiration number one. But inspiration number two, the leader of the Chabad Lubavitch movement, the Hasidic sect of Orthodox Judaism, the Rebbe, he really drove home throughout all of his teachings the power of the soul, how not one person is complete until everyone is included. So through the Rebbe's inspiration and teachings, and a bit of my wife's pushing, we decided to start a branch of the Friendship Circle here in Las Vegas a couple years ago.
Wow, what a great philosophy. I love that. All right, so tell us about the seventh annual Walk for Friendship Las Vegas fundraiser walk and community carnival that you have coming up.
Yeah, so Walk for Friendship, it's our biggest event of the year. It is the most fun as well. We open it up to the community. We want this message to be a more tolerant society and everyone should be more inclusive of each other is something everyone can take home to their own workplaces, to their own homes. So we open up the walk and the carnival to the public. There is no charge. We want everyone to be there. Donations are obviously appreciated and accepted, but the actual event is free and open to the public. It's a big fundraiser, so we'll get a lot of corporate sponsors. The hotels, banks, hospitals will sponsor in advance, but the actual walk is free and open to the public. You got a walk t-shirt. There are some celebrities and politicians that are there and present. And then there's a carnival, ton of vendors and attractions, inflatables, attractive train, mind winder rides, ear jumpers, pony rides, petting zoo, and so much more. We want families and friends to come and join. And it's really fun for all ages.
Wow. That sounds like a lot of great things that you have going on. Now, obviously, this is the seventh annual, but what are some of the new additions that you have this year as opposed to previous years?
So this year, hopefully, it's still in the works, but hopefully a couple of the bigger rides is number one, like a giant Ferris wheel. But also, we're going to focus a little bit more on some adult entertainment. So a DJ, some more seating areas, maybe a bar where the adults can come and have some fun while watching their kids having fun. So that's obviously a reward in itself, but adults can have some fun as well. So really fun for all ages, from a little kids. Oh, we also added a toddler zone this year for the 1-year-olds and 2-year-olds, soft play mats. So again, from 1-2 years old all the way up to the seniors, there's plenty of opportunities to have fun. So we really want you all to be there on March 30th.
Now, for the fundraising portion of the event, how exactly do people raise funds for the Friendship Circle?
So there are a couple of different avenues to do so. Number one is the corporate sponsorship level. If you go on our website, which is walk4friendship, the number 4friendshiplv.com, under the sponsor tab, you'll see the sponsor levels and benefits. You can, you know, write a check, send a credit card, many different ways to pay, and you get different benefits based on the sponsorship level. We also, you can create an account and registration is free and make a general donation to the Walk website. We have a goal of $400,000. You can also create a team. So you create a team on the Walk website and then you can share to your social media from your Walk account. You can also send out emails to your contact list. You upload your contact list into your Walk account and share emails that way as well. So general donations, sponsorship donations, or you can share with your contacts and have a team. Hey, we're going to walk for friendship. Please consider donating to my team. And through that, the word gets out there. We spread the awareness and we get some funds as well.
Nice. Okay. Now, you said that Walk for Friendship is happening on March 30th, but what are the time and location details?
Good question. So it's all going to take place at the Las Vegas Soccer Park or Sports Park at 1400 North Rampart Boulevard. 10 a.m. is registration, so you'll see there's a lot of signage pointing us. There's plenty of parking this year as well. We contracted with another parking company, and the city of Las Vegas is being nice and blocking off the streets, so you can do some street-side parking as well. 10 a.m. is registration. You can, you know, get your T-shirt, get your free lunch ticket. There's a couple of our sponsors that'll be there with some giveaways and handouts. Coffee Bean Coffee will be there as well, so you can get a drink, get your morning started. 11 a.m. is the welcome ceremony with some of the politicians and celebrities that will be present. 11:30 approximately will be the walk. It's a short walk. It's a walk around the park. So the walk will take about 20 to 30 minutes. So at about noon, the carnival and lunch will start, and that goes from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Again, all in the same campus. It's all in the Las Vegas Sports Park, Soccer Park. Starts in the parking lot. And the carnival and lunch take place as you walk around the park in the field of the sports park.
Wow. Okay. That sounds awesome.
We'll have a map out on our website and we'll have handouts as well at the actual event. So you can see where all the list of all the vendors and attractions and where everything's taking place.
Okay. Now, beyond the Walk for Friendship fundraising event, what opportunities do you have for people to get involved with the Friendship Circle Las Vegas, maybe through volunteering or making donations outside of the walk?
Thank you for asking. So, I mean, most of our events are going to be for the special needs community, for the Friendship Circle community, because if you want it to be genuine friendships, you can't have new faces. It'll be a little bit overwhelming for some of our members. But we do have a couple of consistent events that are more community-wide. For example, we just launched this year, actually, something called Friendship Kitchen, where members of all abilities get together. We just made, for the Super Bowl, 150 meals, and we delivered them to a homeless shelter where they made their own Super Bowl sober party. So you're getting together, you're rolling meatballs, you're chopping veggies, you're baking cookies, Friendship Kitchen. As of now, it's monthly. We might turn it to bi-weekly soon, but we'd love for volunteers to participate with that. It's a lot of fun. Teamwork around the universal language of food. So that's Friendship Kitchen. We also have an annual toy drive, opportunity to donate toys. We give the toys to children at 5 different hospitals. We have an inclusive sports game, which is open to the community. That's once a year as well. So definitely other opportunities to get involved in Friendship Circle. You can also obviously volunteer at the walk, help with setup, help with cleanup, help managing the vendors and attractions during the event itself. So yeah, go on our website, fcvegas.org. And check in. The volunteers are the core and the heart of our organization.
Perfect. Okay. Now, what if someone listening has a child or a young adult with special needs or of, you know, as you said, any ability who would be a good fit for the Friendship Circle and they'd like to sign up?
Yep. So you want to go on our website. There's a new volunteer, a new member form, very short, asks you for your basic information. That goes into our office, then our office will get back to them within the next day or two. set up a time to meet. You want to get a Zoom meeting just to know who the volunteer is or who the member is, and make sure we can pair them an age appropriate, you know, friends with similar interests. And there is, again, there is no charge to participate. So go on our website or email us. It will be info@fcvegas.org.
Perfect. So you gave the websites a couple times, but let's give a rundown again where people can go to learn more. First of all, about the Friendship Circle Las Vegas. And, you know, if they want to become a volunteer, make a donation or apply for their child or family member to be part of the Friendship Circle. And then secondly, if they would like to sign up to take part in the Walk for Friendship.
So the organization as a whole would be www.fc for Friendship Circle, fcvegas.org. And then there you'll have a couple options, whether it be donate or how to sign up as a new member or a new volunteer. You can also email our office. That's info@fcvegas.org. That's for the organization as a whole. When it comes to Walk for Friendship, the website is www.walk4friendshiplvforlasvegas.com. So again, it's walk4friendshiplv.com. And same thing, you can register for the walk, learn more about the event, donate to the walk, check out the corporate sponsor options, and hopefully get you involved.
All right, perfect. So once again, fcvegas.org is the main website for Friendship Circle Las Vegas, fcvegas.org, or you can email them info@fcvegas.org. If you'd like to be a volunteer, if someone in your family would make a good member, if you'd like to find out more, that's where you go, fcvegas.org. Now, if you're interested in the 7th annual Walk for Friendship Las Vegas fundraiser, walk and community carnival that's happening on Sunday, March 30th, check in at 10 a.m., welcome ceremony at 11, walk after that, and then carnival at noon. All of that's happening at Las Vegas Sports Park. The website for that is walk4friendshiplv.com. That's the number 4, walk4friendshiplv.com.
You nailed it. You nailed it. Thank you.
The whole thing sounds fantastic. And of course, we've been speaking today with Rabbi Levi Harlig. He's the executive director of the Friendship Circle Las Vegas, which is putting on the Walk for Friendship Las Vegas fundraiser and community event. And Rabbi Harlig, I really appreciate you being here, letting us know, first of all, more about what the Friendship Circle does here in the community and all the opportunities that you're offering to kids and adults, volunteers, people that want to get involved and make a difference, people who want those friendships, some fantastic work that you're doing with Friendship Circle, and of course, the Walk for Friendship Las Vegas fundraiser, which is happening for the 7th year. Sounds like it's always an amazing time. So thank you so much for being here and sharing.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. And again, I hope everyone can join us. Let's make the world a better place, make the world a brighter place. See you at Walk for Friendship.
Are you a family with child medical expenses and looking for relief? United Healthcare Children's Foundation is here to help. They offer medical grants that financially help families cover costs that are not covered or not fully covered by their commercial health insurance. So far, the United Healthcare Children's Foundation has awarded more than 34,000 grants worth more than $70 million. You don't need to be insured through United Healthcare to qualify. Visit grantsforkids.org. That's grantsforkids.org and apply for a grant today.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Bio Curry Winchell, physician and health advocate, and Larnie, a nurse and shingles advocate who developed shingles when she least expected it. Next week is Shingles Awareness Week. U.S. results from a global survey conducted by GlaxoSmithKline show that 42% of people over the age of 50 have limited or no understanding of shingles. But those are the same people who are at increased risk for shingles. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So, Dr. Bio, what exactly is shingles?
Shingles is the virus varicella zoster, the same virus that is related to chickenpox. Well, it's a virus that lies dormant in your spine and can reactivate at any period of time.
Why are people over the age of 50 more at risk?
At age 50, your immune system starts to decline, which can increase your risk for developing shingles.
Interesting. Okay. Larnie, what's your personal experience with shingles?
Yeah. So my family and I were headed to a much needed vacation to Hawaii. And during the flight, I noticed a growth on my left forehead. And, you know, during the duration of the flight, it grew much more. And so when we landed, my husband and I decided, let's go to urgent care. And the provider at urgent care recommended I go to the ER because this growth was near my eye, which is a concern. And so the team of providers there, we worked together and they diagnosed me with shingles.
Okay. Dr. Bio, I wouldn't necessarily associate a growth on the forehead with shingles. What are the signs and symptoms that we should be aware of when it comes to shingles?
Well, shingles starts as a rash. And just like you mentioned, you know, often people don't realize that it's typically presents on one side of the body. Well, that rash is painful. It starts to blister, scab, and then there's long lasting pain that can be for a couple of weeks, but in rare cases can actually last for a longer period of time. But as you mentioned, as you heard with Larnie's story, this rash presented on one side of her face near her eye. And that's why these conversations are so important.
Yeah, definitely. What are some of the common misconceptions about shingles?
That it's just a rash or I'm not going to get it. Well, it can happen to you. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, this virus is the same virus that is the same as chickenpox virus that lies dormant in your spine and can reactivate. And another important thing, Heather, that we don't talk about is if you have any risk factors for additional health issues like asthma, COPD, diabetes, that can also increase your risk for developing shingles.
Okay. Now, if we've had chickenpox and we've been told that, okay, once you have chickenpox once when you're a kid or whenever, you don't get it again, does that mean that we're more or less likely to develop shingles now?
So if you've had chickenpox, that virus, varicella zoster, is lying dormant in your spine. And at any period of time, it could reactivate. And so this myth that, oh, I had chickenpox, I'm never going to have it again. The important piece is this virus can activate again and will present as this painful rash, shingles.
What questions should people ask their doctor or pharmacist about shingles?
It's very important to have a conversation with your doctor or your local pharmacist about your potential risk for developing it. The other thing to think about is, you know, anyone listening right now, if you have diabetes, COPD, asthma, heart disease, all of those things have been shown to increase your risk. So knowing that piece, as well as now all the information that we just talked about shingles, having a conversation is very important. So therefore, the more you know, the more you can do something about it. And when it comes to shingles, as we talked about, it is a rash that could present later on in life, especially over the age of 50.
Okay. Larnie, what do you hope that people can take away from your story?
Yeah, just thank you for this opportunity to share my story. And it's exactly what Dr. Bio had mentioned, is just having the awareness. And those, especially 50 and over, is talking to your provider or pharmacist about your risk for shingles.
And then after that conversation, what's the best prevention for shingles?
So when we talk about prevention, it's knowledge. So after you have that conversation, really taking a look at your health history, do you have any risk factors, like I mentioned, of diabetes, heart disease, and really thinking about having that conversation again with your doctor and see, you know, what are my risk factors? What would I like to do for my health? Because the more you know, the more you can do something about it.
Okay. Where can listeners go to learn more beyond having that conversation with their physician or pharmacist?
EasyVax.com is a great resource to learn about vaccines and other health histories. EasyVax.com.
Perfect. So once again, that website is EasyVax.com, EasyVax.com, put out by GSK. And you can find out more about shingles and other diseases. You can find out about the updated recommendations for vaccines and plenty of other information there. We've been speaking today with Dr. Bio Curry-Winchell. She's a physician and health advocate, and also Larnie, a nurse and shingles advocate who developed shingles out of the blue. It can happen to any of us. So thank you both so much for your time, Larnie. I really appreciate you sharing your story with us, and Dr. Bio for giving us more context and more information about shingles. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Staying active and healthy as we age starts with strong bones. To keep your bones strong, you need calcium, vitamin D, and regular exercise. A bone density test called DEXA helps detect low bone mass and bone disease called osteoporosis. If you're 65 or older, Medicare provides free bone density tests every 2 years. Ask your doctor to schedule yours. For more information on how to be bone strong, visit pathtogoodbonehealth.org.
I'm Heather Vale with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. February is Library Lovers Month, and the Las Vegas Clark County Library District is celebrating with their annual giveaway through February 28th. Your library card number is all you need to enter for a chance to win a pair of Vegas Golden Knights tickets or a selection of swag. If you don't have one, you can get a library card for free, online, or at any of the 25 neighborhood branches. Get more details or enter for your chance to win at thelibrarydistrict.org/giveaway. That's thelibrarydistrict.org/giveaway. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, February 24th at 8 p.m. benefiting Retriever Rescue of Las Vegas, and Monday, March 10th at 8 p.m. benefiting Life by Music. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. And the 7th Annual Walk for Friendship Las Vegas Fundraiser Walk and Community Carnival is happening on Sunday, March 30th, with check-in at 10 a.m., welcome ceremony at 11 a.m., walk at 11:30, and carnival from noon to 2 p.m. at Las Vegas Sports Park, 1400 North Rampart Boulevard. Support the Friendship Circle's efforts to provide social and recreational opportunities for children and young adults of all abilities. Find out more or register at walkforfriendshiplv.com. That's the number 4, walkforfriendshiplv.com.